Okay, as we had announced that next Thursday would most likely be our last study in this series, and we will be stopping the Thursday class. We do have a Tuesday class. It is a Greek exegesis class, which that in itself might scare some people away. But basically, it is showing the Greek language outlined on each verse, but English accompanies the Greek. And there are people in the class that don't know Greek that use it as their Bible study. It is an in-depth class. So you are invited to come to that if you would like. Now, concerning the Tuesday class, we had a little challenge last Tuesday about the use of the facilities we were in, and so we cannot reserve the room we're in, and somebody complained about it. They can't play pool while we're in there. We're in the pool room. So I offered to play him an eight ball for the championship. No, yeah, cowards, yes. So what we're going to do is change the night of the study from Tuesday night to Monday night. And the time of the study is from 6:30 until 8. We usually don't go all the way till 8 o'clock, but we have the banquet facility at, what is the name? Knollwood Village. If you know where Rigetti High School is, you know where the corner Foster and Bradley is, you know where the baseball field is on the backside, and there's a Methodist church on that backside. There's a street that runs right by the Methodist church, and it dead ends into Bradley. If you went straight across Bradley, you'd be right into Norwood? Knollwood. Yeah. Whatever it is, you'll be in it. And we meet in the clubhouse or rec house. I mean, it's just right in front of you. You just pull right in and you're in the parking lot. And as you walk in, there's a small room. It's a pool room that we usually met in. Then there's a large banquet facility, and then there's a library off to the left. So we're going to have the big banquet facility. So, and there's only a few of us, which means we have more room. If you'd like to come and try that out and sit in on that as a study. It's very different than we do on Thursday nights. This is a survey. Sometimes the class members hold me up. Oh. Sometimes we take 3 weeks just on one verse or one word as we develop it and show how it functions within the New Testament. So if you feel led to join us, the change in day and is going to start this coming Monday. So the next Tuesday we're not going to meet. We're going to meet on Monday night, a night prior to that. And then we take a break, right? The next Monday after? 17th we take a break, and then the room is ours for Monday nights from then on. So we will meet this Monday. Class starts at 6:30, and you're welcome to join us. Right now we're in chapter 15. The vision of the seven angels with the seven last plagues. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up or completes the wrath of God. This is what is known by Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Also in that verse, Jeremiah says, that day is great, so that nothing is like it. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, he says, this time will be a time of trouble such as never was here on the earth. The seven last plagues, we had right at the breaking of the seventh seal. Under the breaking of the seventh seal, we have seven trumpets, and now we have seven bowl judgments. They all are under the seventh seal. The seventh bowl judgment begins at the seventh trumpet. He also saw a celebration of overcomers. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. They're standing on the sea of glass. That's this large area that's right before the throne that we saw back in chapter 4. And they had the harps of God. These again would be the lyres, the guitar-like instruments. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And so all of these events remind them of the Exodus and Moses' song is in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 18, and also Deuteronomy chapter 32, which has a little more details to it in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. So these events reminded them of the Exodus when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. These are these who have come out of tribulation, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and also the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee? Interesting, because remember the angel said, fear God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 18, it tells us the person who does not know the Lord does not fear God. There's no fear of God in them. Who shall not fear thee, they say, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. The thing that impresses me is not just the praise, but these are people who were killed during the tribulation period. No complaints, just praise. The preparation for the seven last plagues. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles or sashes. That would be the dress of the high priest. So these angels have the seven last plagues. And one of the four beasts, or living creatures, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials or bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. The instruction given to these seven angels, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And there fell a noisome, grievous sore. This would be boils. Only other place found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5 of the plagues of Egypt. Upon men who had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living thing died in the sea. It reminds you of, again, the plagues in Egypt, Exodus chapter 7, verses 15 through 21. The third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And we saw this back in the breaking of the seals. Only a third at that time was done. Now it's complete. And they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters. Remember, I told you that angels seem to be put in charge of nature of some kind, wind, water. So I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, who art and wast and shall be." That is, who is and who was and who always shall be. Again, that's a paraphrase of God's name taken from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. "Because thou hast judged this way, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another from out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Boy, no complaints at all. The angel of the water kind of got put out of business. Everything got turned to blood. But he praises God, says his judgments are true and right. They poured out the blood of the saints. They are to drink blood. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Quite a difference between heaven, what's going on in heaven, what's going on earth. The description of the fifth bowl judgment. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. So much so that people were chewing on their tongues because of the pain of the darkness. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. The sixth bowl judgment, the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates. And the water of it was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. We're getting into the Gog and Magog territory of Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, where the armies are going to come against Israel from the north. And the Euphrates River is going to be dried up, and the armies are going to be able to go through the river and get to Jerusalem. These will be cavalry people. Is it cavalry? Cavalry. Cavalry people. I got an email one time from somebody that complained. "My church is named Calvary, and you got it wrong." I said, "Okay." So they dried up the water, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons working miracles, who go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. See, the whole point of all this, if you can imagine this, Satan going to all this trouble to bring about one world government, one world religious system, one world economic system, is to unify everybody under his control so that at the second coming of Christ, he will be in control of them to get them over to the valley of Megiddo and fight against the Lord at his second coming. That's it. He doesn't want anybody's money. He knows the second coming of Christ is coming. And if he says, okay, everybody, let's go fight against the Lord when he comes, and he has no authority over them, you know. These are people who are locked in that have the mark of the beast that belong to him. They worship him. And they blaspheme God as these judgments are happening. So Satan says, boy, they're conditioned, they're mine. And the whole point of this is to draw everybody over to the Valley of Megiddo. We'll see that in a moment. But these demonic spirits, like frogs, are coming out of these three to influence the kings of the earth and the whole world and gather them together for battle. Behold, I come as a thief, verse 15, God says. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into the place which is called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The Valley of Megiddo, it's Har-Mageddon. Har's valley. The Valley of Megiddo is what Armageddon means. And we see that. I'll give you some more scriptures on that. Zechariah 14, verses 2 and 3. That's Zechariah 14, verses 2 and 3. Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Talks about this battle known as Armageddon or the Valley of Megiddo. 38 and 39, two chapters. Pages 180, 181, the description of the seven-bowl judgment. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. Seems kind of foolish. Except in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it tells us that Satan is the prince and power of the air. The literal air in which we breathe is also his domain. So the seventh angel pours out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice from out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, it is finished. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as what was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nation fell. And great Babylon, and we're going to see that this is the cryptic name for Rome. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail from out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, about 100 pounds. It's a pretty big hail. I know they got big hail in Texas, right? I've heard about that. 100 pounds each? I don't think so. But why that? Well, the law says that if you blaspheme God, you're stoned. You're going to be stoned. Every stone of hail, 100 pounds, coming down upon people. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Chapter 17, the invitation by one of the seven angels. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls. And he talked with me, saying to me, come hither. I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now this woman, this prostitute, this whore, as she is called, is the religious system who is going to ride the beast, the political system. The religious system riding the political system. And the religious system is called a prostitute. Again, making reference back even in the New Testament, again, James 4, verse 4, says that if you are a friend of the world, you have committed adultery against God. That once you belong to Christ, to go back into the world and serve others in a worshipful way is spiritual adultery against God. I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. And we'll see that the waters represent nations here in a moment. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is all spiritual. And I think it's interesting. Remember, a few minutes ago, I gave you a plug about the Greek class. One night we studied about this word that people are to be sober-minded. And that's exactly what it means. Not that your mind becomes drunk with alcohol, but your mind becomes drunk with the things of the world. Intoxicated. It takes you over. It controls your whole life. Can't sleep at night. Don't get along with people. It's intoxicating. That's why I say it's so very important to know that Paul especially said that for those who are God's people, he fought for their minds. So Satan wouldn't occupy the attention of their mind and they could be left with focusing on the Word of God and receiving from God's Spirit through His Word. Once you're saved, then Satan wants the attention of your mind. He can't possess your mind, but he can possess the attention of your mind. That's a teaching in the Scripture. So it's kind of interesting if you should ever go see a counselor about anything. It would be surprising, but it would be true if the counselor were to say to you, you're troubled because you're intoxicated. You're not sober-minded. This thing's taking you over. Just like a drunk person out on the street. So they commit fornication with her, and she makes the inhabitants of the earth drunk with the wine of her fornication. Here's the vision of the harlot. So he carried me away in spirit into the wilderness. So he's caught up in the spirit realm. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. This would be the same beast of Revelation chapter 13. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Yep, that's him. Back in Revelation chapter 13. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet color, royalty, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Boy, she's looking good. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead, a name is written: Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She wears that title. Proud of it, I guess. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, because he was thoroughly taken in by this sight. Beautiful woman, riding on the beast. It was just, he was awestruck. So an angel comes to me and explains this vision, says, why are you marveling? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Again, it's not a matter of switching books. Again, another book in which they are not in. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. Seven heads are seven hills on which the mountain sits, a woman sits. The city on seven hills, anybody know what it is? What's that? Can't hear you. Rome. That's Rome. Cryptically known as Babylon in the book of Revelation. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Now, what all of this means is that there are five kings that have ruled at the time of John is the sixth. So far, Egypt, you can write these down if you like, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medo-Persians, and Greece have ruled. The sixth is Rome. That's under the rule now of John as he is writing. In a moment, he's going to tell us in verse 11, just to throw more confusion, all this mumble jumble. He says that one is going to rise up, who is the seventh, and will become the eighth. So right now the sixth is ruling and the seventh is yet to come from John's standpoint. There are seven kings, five are fallen. One is, that would be Nero or Domitian at this time, and the other is yet to come, the seventh one. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. That will be the Antichrist with the old Babylonian system. A short time he will only have. In fact, heaven is going to declare that he only ruled for an hour. Just a short time. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goes into perdition. He was put to death. He was the seventh ruling empire, and he was put to death, and he came back for a short time to be the eighth. What's that? Antichrist. The beast that was slain. Continuing with the explanation of the vision, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And that's the ten nation confederacy that is already formed. But three will be absorbed into the seven. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And he says unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the waters that was seen under her were the nations, the people of the world. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. What in the world's going on here? Where the beast is only going to allow the religious system, the prophet, to ride her, to ride this beast for so long. And the 10 nations are going to give their allegiance to this woman. But when the Antichrist is through with her, then he's going to turn against her as well as the kings, because they're going to be on his side, and she's going to be destroyed, this religious system. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God says, this is my will. Give all of your allegiance to this woman. But once my plan is fulfilled, God says, then I'm going to change. I'm going to turn them against her, and they will destroy her. And the woman which you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's Rome, cryptic Babylon. Chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Everybody bought in. Everybody's mind was intoxicated with the economic, political, and religious system of the world. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Look at the proclamation of God's people. I heard another sound from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. This will be the call of God during the tribulation period. Come out of her, that is this harlot, this system, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So he says, come out of her, so that you're not caught in this judgment. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. She's going to receive double judgment because of what she did to the saints. And this is the prostitute, the whore, the religious system. How much she has glorified herself and lived delicately, really, luxuriously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath said in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am not a widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, shall lament her, or bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of the torment. And they say, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls and fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all thine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of the most precious wood, of brass and of iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, animals, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, and the souls of men, and the fruits that your soul lusted ever after are departed from you. Interesting. These are all the things that people lusted after that Antichrist system gave to them if they would just bow down and worship the image. So all these things that your soul lusted after have departed from thee, and all things which were dainty, luxurious, and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great a riches has come to nothing." Boy, take that phrase and let that be the motto over your door every time. Look up at it as you walk out. In 1 hour, all the wealth of the world is going to be gone. All this that they're working for. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you upon her." And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "In this way, with violence, shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Interesting. It's called sorcery. Intoxication of the mind is a sorcery. And all the nations are deceived by satanic philosophy and the way of the world. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all them that were slain upon the earth. And that completes chapter 18, which means next week we have 4 chapters left. Chapter 19, of course, is the second coming of Christ. We're going to study what heaven is like. We're going to study about the new city, Jerusalem, and what it will be like there. And not just adjectives that describe the place, but there's some good functioning descriptions in these chapters. This is the, of course, we've, a couple of weeks now, we've read through all the judgments and the terrible things that are to happen upon the earth, but only upon those who have rejected Christ. But we're all looking for that day, the second coming of Christ, and we're going to study that in detail next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you. We can actually look at this from a heaven's perspective and see that even now, as Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 3, that you're long-suffering, you're waiting, you're holding back of judgment is out of your love for others so that they can come to know Christ and be saved. Even during the tribulation period, as you have expressed your judgment in part to give people a chance to repent and come to Christ. But there will come a day when your wrath will be poured out in its completeness, in the fury of your wrath. And we pray that our hearts will praise you, but our hearts will also fear you, not to be scared, but to reverence you for who you are. And that even now, your judgment is waiting to take place, but it seems like in our culture and in our lifestyle that everything's fine. Difficulties here and there, that there isn't any spiritual war going on, but there is. We pray that these texts would wake us up, make us sensitive to the fact that there is not much time left, and what the value of this earthly life is compared to eternity. We pray your Spirit would testify to us concerning these things. In Jesus' name, amen.